I put that on the bottom.
Oh shit, we're live.
Oh, hey, oh, look at that. Oh my god.
Oh, what is 30.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Such Good Shoot, brought to you today through the power of the Johnners Wrestle Podcast Wrestling Network thingamabobby. You know, tonight we got up there, we have Shane. Yeah, you're going first today.
Oh, hi. This is me. I'm Shane. Hello.
Hey, Shane.
Hey. Over there, we have Isaac.
Oh, hello.
And I'm Dozer.
Hi, Dozer.
And you know what? Let's get it on. Let's talk about some wrestling tonight.
Oh, let's do that. This has been a fun week for us. Let's just get a couple little things out of the way because we're very excited. Tomorrow morning, we are going to release our newest interview, 4:20 in the morning. Yesterday, the three of us got to sit down and talk with fucking Hornswoggle, the Swoggle himself. The little bastard.
Swagmeister.
Yeah, short stack.
Very cool guy. Most excellent human being.
And yeah, and if you guys get a chance, go check out his Twitch stream. Watch him play video games and watch him battle. Watch him battle.
Ass whooped by his son, dude. Yeah. I've got the son in this one.
Yeah.
You don't come back from 63-3. It's just it.
No.
We're gonna find out a couple things like what his biggest rivalry in the world is, his two remaining goals in wrestling, and then his thoughts on Pico de Gallo and boneless wings.
Which WWE superstar he bullied the shit out of?
Oh my god, yes, he loved bullying.
100%.
Yeah, that was that was really fun, a really fun time. So yeah, 4:20 in the morning. And next Thursday, we got a live interview. So let's hype that up a little. Maybe we'll release that at the end.
End. We'll talk about that later.
And then Monday morning, we've got another interview that we did just the other day that we're going to release too with fucking Dirty Dango Fandango. Oh. Yeah, we can actually do this because fucking hey man, we've got to talk to him, so it's not like gimmick infringement right now.
That was
a really interesting one too.
A nice little bite-sized one. It's just like 35 minutes, you know.
Yeah, just under 40 minutes is a really good one, and he had a lot to talk about, and we had a really nice time with him too. So keep an eye out for those, and then we'll tell you all about who else we've got, because that's a big one.
There's some good stuff coming at the end of this episode, but
that's true.
First,
yes,
Shane
Blunt. Oh sweet,
it's na-na-na.
Oh wait, we're doing that now. Oh okay. Oh shit, you even fucking fooled me on this one. Have you watched They Live?
Oh no.
Okay,
no, I have not.
Shit, I thought we were going right into fucking something Sheik of the Week.
Yeah,
what did you watch?
I watched Gummo yesterday. Oh. So everyone
get the
and anyone
out of here,
just go watch Gummo. Go watch Gummo.
Do not watch Gummo, please.
Especially
for the love of God, do not watch Gummo.
If you have an impressionable mind,
do not.
And you're a lover of just wonderful movies, go watch the Gummo.
Do not do it. If you like cats, don't watch it at all.
Yeah, if you like cats, really. I mean, yeah, like if you're a cat lover, it's probably not a wonderful.
It is a
wonderful,
horrible
movie for you.
Why are we talking bad about the Rum Tum Tugger right now? What do we got against cats? That's some of Andrew Lloyd Webber's best work.
Stop it. No, we're not talking about that abomination either. No. If we're gonna see anything, go watch Hornswoggle and fucking Leprechaun Origins, brought to you by WWE Studios and fucking New Line or some shit like that.
Yeah. Or Muppets Most Wanted. Muppets Most Wanted. Let's not short him there.
Yeah, let's watch Muppets Most Wanted first. Let's ask my father Wade. Have you seen Leprechaun Origins? If so, what was your opinion on it? Isaac over here thought it was a lovely time.
It was fun. It was fun for it felt like much more like a classic 80s like slasher pick than it did like a Leprechaun movie, but it was like, for what it was fun. There was some good stuff in it. I felt bad for Hornswoggle. I'll tell you that right now.
That on the interview.
Yeah, the prosthetics just fucking looked brutal to put on. It looked like he spent way more time putting them on than he did actually on camera. But Shane, do you have a Sheik of the Week? Because I really want to light this blunt. Wade?
Yeah. Yes. What about Leprechaun Origins?
Okay, Leprechaun Origins.
Yes.
Yes.
You just come over here. Turn that shit off because I can't. We're doubling up.
I'm sorry.
No, this is incredible, ladies and gentlemen.
Guys,
Wade.
Leprechaun Origins, bad. Not Gummo bad, but it was a bad movie. Sorry.
It's okay.
You better say that to Swoggle's face. He'll kick your fucking ass.
I like it more than Gummo.
That Swoggle wasn't in those, man.
Yeah, I'm not over here comparing it to any sort of masterpiece. It's not some sort of Psycho or something like that.
Yep. Thank you, Wade.
Was that Wade's theme song?
Yes, Wade's theme song. Don't care anymore.
So is that like right. Motley Crue? What the hell was that? The summer of suplex is on your fucking head.
One more. We got one more.
11 hours ago. No, we might have to go on a little tear here. He was going nuts yesterday. I didn't see any of these. 12 hours ago, Dr. Dre, the real doctor. 23 hours ago, fuck the fun fact. One day ago, digitally go fuck yourself. Another one day ago, no ice cold beer, go fuck yourself. I agree. Sheiky, toast.
Toast.
Cilantro.
Cilantro. By the way, anybody here a cilantro weirdo? Isaac, I know you like cilantro. Doze, are you a cilantro weirdo? You think it tastes like soap?
No, it tastes like cilantro to me, but I could leave it or take it. It's not the world's best herb or anything.
No, that's rolled up in here, baby.
Actual herbs.
Yeah. No, cilantro, I actually took me a long time to train myself to be able to eat cilantro.
Really? I didn't know. I thought you
liked cilantro. When I was a little kid, we always had a garden, and I would eat parsley out of the garden all the time because I just like chewing on parsley. And for some reason or another, my dad planted cilantro in the parsley spot one year after years of it always being parsley, and I took a big handful.
I'm sure that was definitely not a good intro to cilantro.
Yeah, that was the first time I ever ate it. I threw up everywhere. So anytime I tasted it, I just threw up. And so like once I really like started getting into cooking, I had to fucking train myself to get over that by eating a lot of cilantro and shit.
I love cilantro, man, but I also like tacos.
Well, now I love it. Now I have no issue with it. I can eat the shit out of it. It just took me a little time to get over that shit. But you know, could be worse. Could be way worse. I could be a vegetarian.
Review we're reviewing.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. I could be a vegetarian. That's worse.
Vegan,
yeah, like crypto. poor fucking guy, man. I love you, but Jesus Christ, man, eat a pig. They're fucking delicious.
Says the Jew.
No.
Guys, we are 9 minutes and 25 seconds into this, and I believe we've alienated an entire religion, and it took two religions, really.
Yeah, one of them is mine, okay? So shit.
A noticeable percentage of wine coolers, so you know, I almost bought one of those Smirnoff Rocket Pop wine cooler thingamabobs today.
Oh, yeah?
On my Disney podcast, they were talking about them. It's like those old Rocket Pops, the red, white, and blue pops. Apparently, it tastes just like them.
Yo, Skyline still carries those.
Yeah.
I love those things, man. I get bomb pops all the time, baby.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw out a hot take real quick. I guess we're talking food right now. I mean, we don't have a whole lot else to talk about. So
we can talk about whatever the fuck we want, guys. This is our podcast, you know that.
Yeah, I'm like really not a popsicle fan at all. Like I think popsicles just kind of suck.
Wow. Like, okay.
Yeah. I mean,
do you have a buzzer? Do you have an sound of some sort?
Because I look, if I had it, I'm not ringing it because I agree with him.
Yeah, I mean, one, they hurt your teeth. Like, I don't know about you, but I have little pussy teeth. Like, and they hurt, man. Like, I take a bite into something cold, and it hurts.
You gotta
really
suck
bad
on that thing like a dick, dude.
You gotta get some Sensodyne, brother.
Oh,
dude. I love a bomb pop.
Like, Aaron and I.
Real fruit limes. Oh, that's good.
When we went to Louisville, I got this really sour like sherbet deal, and you know, just like a, you know, like a pint of ice cream tub, and it hurt my teeth so bad. I was like, I gotta put this away now. And I've tried to eat it another time, and it hurt my teeth so bad I had to put it down again, man.
What about like absolutely otter pops? Otter pops and like the flavor ice or whatever you call them.
What the hell's an otter pop?
A flavor.
Things
ice
in the weird tube.
Flavor.
Yeah. I mean, like, if I can have it avoid my teeth, I'm good with it. So, like, soft serve ice cream and stuff, I can just slather that.
I'm just talking
right
about, like, the little plastic tubes with the frozen shit in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean,
I don't know what you call them in Ohio. We call them flavor ice here.
Flavor ice here.
We call them popsicles here. Still. Oh,
the ones that aren't on a stick, those things are that's a popsicle?
Yeah, I still consider that a popsicle. Yeah, yeah, I mean those are better than like other you know, popsicle variants, but they're still not my thing. If I'm gonna punish myself, it's just ice cream.
Okay, if we're going down this
water ice, water ice is where it's at.
Okay, I was gonna ask, are you Italian?
What's a water?
Ice? Italian ice, that's where you're
it's
at.
Water right ice. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Italian
okay
ice. If you go to the Jersey Shore, it's Polish ice.
I just want to make sure that was where we were at, because that's what I figured, because Italian ice is fucking incredible.
It absolutely is, and I'm lactose intolerant, so it's like wham, wham, there's no milk, yeah!
Oh, shit, man. Oh, I love it. I love that. That's good. That's good. This is a good divergent talk, and I'm very happy we did.
But
we got into a little bit of food discussion in our interview, so it still all ties in, man.
Well, I just want you to know that on our Apple podcast, the actual username for our podcast is Such Food Shoot, because I fucked up the name.
Yeah, that's the most drunk and stoner shit ever. Fucking cheers to that, dude. Cheers to that. Fucking crack open a joint, light up a beer, dude.
I was sitting there one day going, what the fuck is Such Food Shoot? Oh.
Oh.
Well, I can't edit that. I seem to have hit the wrong button.
It got out of great. They're right next to each other.
Yeah. But, you know, I do think we actually should talk about some current topics, because, like, there's a lot of rumors flying around these dirt sheets lately. And, you know, the two biggest Ring of Honor stars of all time are rumored to be going to AEW. Supposedly a done deal, but I don't always trust dirt sheets.
Yeah, I literally just saw that right before we got on, that CM Punk is a done deal to AEW too. But I don't know. So, who knows? I would like to see him and D-Bry fight each other. But
literally, that's the only match I want to see.
But I don't know, dude. I'd like to see CM Punk and fucking Hangman. There's some matches that would be great.
Dude, there would be
Daniel Bryan and Kenny.
I'm more excited for Punk than I am Bryan, but that's mostly, yeah, same. Mostly, I don't trust their ability to keep him safe. They have not shown great restraint. Yeah, and a lot of those wrestlers are still
a gimmick match.
Yeah. And so many of them are still, they're great, but a lot are still a little bit green.
I mean, they definitely wrestle like, fuck it, if I die, I die.
They're
bringing
Nick Gage in. Jesus Christ, man.
Yo, dude, the next match is going to be Nick Gage versus Daniel Bryan. It's going to kick so much ass, dude.
Oh, geez.
Oh, God, no.
dude.
Oh no!
I mean, I would say CM Punk versus Nick Gage, but he whined like a little bitch because of Ryback, so I really can't see, you know, really.
Hey, whatever, dude. He did go out and fight in what, 2 MMA fights?
Yeah, dude, got fucking stomped, man.
That takes some fucking balls to go back out after you get your ass kicked. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, balls are not, you know, dude's not a fighter.
Yeah, not so much.
He's a lover.
He's a good talker. Goddamn, dude. And AJ Lee. AJ Lee's like writing a fucking movie right now.
Isn't she like a children's like book writer?
Oh, God. What the fuck is the movie she's writing? Because it's some like the weirdest shit ever. Holy shit.
Well, while you look that up, anybody ever read Mick Foley's Tales from Rascal Lane? It is a great children's book, and you need it for your kids if they still print it. It's awesome. The Dudley Boys are the town bullies. It's adorable. It's great. And it's stupid.
Anybody ever listened to Tales from the Hard Side by Biohazard? Or are we not talking about the same thing? No?
No.
No.
Okay, so she is writing. Do you remember the fucking, sorry, do you remember the Keanu Reeves movie 47 Ronin that was like a very loose remake of the fucking old school Japanese like movie, like the Kiro Kurosawa movie, I believe it was, but Keanu Reeves did a remake and it was still like, it was like about feudal Japan and shit. Well, they're gonna make they're in the process of making a sequel to that, which she's writing, but the sequel is a futuristic sci-fi steampunk samurai movie. So yeah, I'm curious. That shit's funny. Smoke weed every day. But yeah, so that's one of the things. She also apparently is writing like some Wonder Woman comics and shit like that.
Well, good for her. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love to hear about wrestlers' life after wrestling, especially when they're not going into real estate like everyone does.
Or they're just like doing well and happy. Like I keep seeing pictures of DDP and Mark Mero together. And those dudes like talk about like too much fucking positivity for one room. Yeah.
Someone tell the other one to fuck off or something, yeah, please. Something,
please tell someone to fucking quit. Just to give up on your dreams, please.
Yeah, and do we have any thoughts on Karrion Kross just getting demolished by Jeff Hardy?
He didn't get demolished. Jeff cheated the win, which also didn't make sense, but yeah, it's a crock of bullshit. It's like, it's so dumb.
It's a waste.
Like, Jeff Hardy...
Bullshit!
Like, I would be okay with it if they were to have gone, look, Karrion Kross is on Raw tonight, and he's so dominant in NXT that, you know, he's going to have an open challenge, you know what I mean, on Raw, and, you know, they're bringing it up. And then maybe if they would have brought Keith Lee back for that, and then Keith Lee beats him, like, that's something that I could have been okay with. But, losing to Jeff Hardy for no reason when Jeff Hardy cheats and acts out a character is just what a waste of fucking time. And where was Scarlett? Like, how are you going to bring Karrion Kross out and not have Scarlett? Like, she's literally the gimmick. Him without Scarlett is just a big ass bald guy who beats you up.
That's half the wrestlers.
Yeah.
But speaking of big ass bald guys who beat you up, that brings us to tonight's main event, emanating from the Providence Civic Center in Providence, Rhode Island, with a paid attendance of 9,312. On Sunday, June 8th, 1997, we come to WWF King of the Ring.
King of the Ring.
Bum, bum.
This bracket got all fucked up because Triple H was not actually supposed to be in this one at all to start out.
Damn.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought he was like supposed to win because of the year before, but I don't remember who was penciled in to win, but he wasn't in it, and Vader was supposed to be in it, but Vader got his nose and orbital bone broken by Ken Shamrock in their match at the pay-per-view before that we watched. That really good, solid, fucking stiff match. Yeah, well, apparently Ken Shamrock broke his fucking face in that one and took him out of action. So yeah, he wasn't supposed to be in it, so they put him in at like the last minute. And then also, originally Brett was supposed to face HBK at this, but because of the infamous Sunny Days promo, like was like I think either the week or like a week before, 2 weeks before, it was very shortly before this pay-per-view, Vince called it off because he didn't want Brett to like beat the fuck out of Sean for real in the ring.
Probably a smart move.
And so, yeah, it was originally supposed to be Brett versus HBK and Austin versus Pillman.
Well, I mean, damn, DDJ.
I mean, I'm glad the Pillman match didn't happen because Pillman couldn't fucking work at this point. Like, he was so fucked up from that car wreck, man. He couldn't move.
Yeah. Like, but he was such a good promo.
Oh yeah, I mean, but that's what he clung to. I mean, that was the only thing he had left. I mean,
well, Austin was in really bad shape physically at that point too.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a visual joke for all the people listening. That's where we're laughing. Oh shit, man!
I'm not DDJ. I didn't memorize all this shit, dude. I have notes that I took fucking before this. Come on now.
No, I'm DDJ.
No, okay. I just took notes, man. But yeah, Austin versus Pillman, that would have been, I would have loved to actually get a chance to see that feud with both of them healthy.
Yes. But instead, yes, this pay-per-view gets to open up with the banger that is Hunter Hearst Helmsley taking on Ahmed Johnson.
Oof. What a pile of fucking shit.
Yeah. Even Triple H couldn't save this one. And Triple H is like,
Working his ass off. Yeah, this was one of the better Ahmed Johnson matches that I've ever seen. I mean, it was like, I'm just going to ruin my rating. It was still like only a one-star match. And the only reason why it was a one-star match is because Triple H bumped like hell for him and wrestled so fucking slow that Ahmed could get his shit in. And like,
no, he actually like almost made him look passable as a wrestler.
Yeah, dude, but then he fucked up that like scissors axe kick deal, and it looked like it hurt like a son of a bitch at the end of the match.
Yeah, there was a couple.
Like, oh, that's an ouchie.
Botches throughout the pay per view. I did like there was one moment on commentary when JR asks McMahon if fucking Helmsley has ever tried to buy the WWF, and I don't know why, but that just cracked me up listening to hearing it. I'm like, oh, he has a better plan. Watch.
Oh, you know, the funniest bit of commentary from this one was JR talking about the Bloods, like Jim Ross has any idea what street gangs are like. Good old so JR, good. Boomer Sooner, and all that, man.
So good. Yeah, but they're a great commentary team. Without the King in the mix, like, those two together play off each other very, very well.
See, I think you need the King in there, though, because you just don't have a heel between those. So, like, the commentary wasn't bad by any means, but it was so much this is how things are going and not enough. I can't believe I'm saying this, but, like, not enough. Like, here's a one-liner, you know, here's a way to lighten things up.
Wow. Shane
I missed King on this show. Yeah, absolutely.
Have you missed this guy, though?
Hello,
Nathan. Oh, Nat.
It's a Nat Drink. Call out. It's a Nat call
you know,
out.
Did you tell Nat that he's famous now? That this.
Don't let it go to his head, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering. I mean, he's kind of famous now. He's more famous than us.
I know. Swoggle talks about him.
Oh, shit. I thought it was just the bro.
Oh, no, this is going to go on for a little bit.
No, but I figured out how to stop it.
Oh, nice. I loved that him in the lead up to Money in the Bank on the left.
Whoa. I'm so high. Fucking classic, classic moment. But yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and agree with you, Shane. It's not really much to talk about on this one. One star.
Why is it, sorry, Dozer, why is it every single Ahmed Johnson match ends with him chasing someone but slowing down to like after the match? It ends every fucking time, man.
Oh, dude, like, he's the worst.
The past like four pay-per-views from WWF we've watched, it's just been him going way too fast and clearly way too fast. And then you had the fucking, you know, Matt and Jeffrey Hardy at the top of the fucking ramp for this one, trying to open the door so that way China and Triple H could get away, and they have to like stop, and Ahmed's like, oh god, I'm gonna get him. Kind of
walks through the curtain after too. Like, I guess I'm just done.
Yeah, gorilla's a no running zone.
Oh dude, I hate Ahmed Johnson so much.
Yeah, he's not good.
I'm gonna agree. I'm gonna make it a three-way here with a one star.
A menage uno.
Well, you know, this just actually becomes a clusterfuck, which is now the full term when all three of us agree with Dave Meltzer.
Oh,
it's officially a clusterfuck.
Do we have to? What are the rules? What are the rules? I don't know the rules.
I don't know.
One drink. If we agree, one drink if you agree with Meltzer. I think that's
fair. Agree with Meltzer, though. If all three of us agree with Meltzer, I feel like that's a rare occurrence.
Well,
we should have to do something special, though.
The official clusterfuck is every host agrees. So if there's a guest host, they also have to agree with Meltzer.
Everyone has to agree.
Everyone. So? Six people on, six people have to agree.
So do we have to
DDJ, what do you rate this match?
He's not on right now, okay? We could bring him on, DDJ. If you're watching live and you want to come on, hop on in.
You know how to get in.
But you know you remember everything about it, you crazy son of a bitch.
Look, DDJ. We're ready for this shit.
We're ready. All right, so what was next? What was next?
That next brings us to quite possibly the promo of the night, and that is the King versus Mankind.
Oh, this was actually fun. This was actually fun, and Foley, man. Okay, Shane, I see you making this look, but Daniel Bryan said something recently about he used to like see like a senton bomb or like a 450 splash or something and think, man, that's awesome. And nowadays he likes to look at a Jerry the King Lawler punch and be like, man, that's fucking incredible.
Dude, I love shit. This.
I think Jerry the King Lawler, like forgetting about commentary in ring, is one of the most incredible workers of all time. And man, some of those bumps he gave fucking Foley against the railing.
Yeah, but that's not him. That's Foley. I mean,
it's both of them. No,
that's all Foley, dude.
Lawler's a legend.
All
for
he
a
goes
reason.
Is.
Dude, Lawler's a legend for a reason.
I agree, and I'm not saying anything negative about him or Foley. I just don't think that this match is what the King of the Ring tournament 1997 needed. I understand that shit doesn't, you know, work out the way it should sometimes and all of that. And I don't think it was like a terrible match, but are you telling me that on the great? I mean, I understand that 97 wasn't the best roster the company has ever had, but if you're looking at the roster, you cannot tell me that they couldn't have chosen somebody more interesting and somebody that would have been more convincible that they would win than Jerry the King Lawler.
No, I have to disagree with you there because they've consistently pushed Ahmed Johnson. They clearly had no one better.
Yeah, I mean, but like he was over though. Like obviously the crowd hated King, but the King even at this point was like 50 years old. Like
it was all I'm saying is that it was a fun match. And regardless of like, could they have done something? Should they have done something better? Could they have put on a different match? Could they have had Shamrock in there? Could they have had anybody else in there? Sure. They could have. But they didn't. And what they put on in the ring was a good match. And granted, yeah, like you can say all you want, like it could have been this and it could have been that. But like all we're rating is what it was. And what I think it was fucking entertaining. I liked seeing Jerry the King Lawler fight him. I mean, because, you know, like, I think Foley is somebody who can give him a really good match because he's a little bit slower. And they did, and they had an interesting story. Foley fucking went through hell. And I think in the end, it served the purpose of making Hunter look good. So I don't know. Like, I think it worked in the long run. Was it like, was it a 5-star? No. Are we still calling out DDJ? Yes. We're definitely still calling out DDJ. He's, I don't remember what for. I've been smoking weed. Oh, look, every day. He is. Wait a minute. Are you is he joining us or what?
No, I don't know.
Why did we ask him? Why did we ask him to join us? I'm fucking
scared. Oh, because we were trying to figure out if it was a true clusterfuck.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
This match was like a 1.75 stars. It was much better than than Ahmed and Triple H. I mean, like I said, I'm not like gonna hate the match.
That's
that's
Nat's butt you just saw, so we're drinking to that. I'm gonna go ahead. I'm torn between a 2 and a 2.25 because I think 2.25 is what I'm gonna give it because of those two fucking rail bumps that Foley took, and along with everything else, that drop kick that Jerry the King Lawler gave him.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was solid.
It was a good match. 2.25. Oh, man. Don't step on the keyboard, though.
Before I give it my rating, DDJ, you missed the official terminology. Clusterfuck is when every host agrees with Dave Meltzer's rating.
DDJ, just jump on the live stream. I can't read. You know this shit. Get in here. Come on. Let's go.
But what I will say is I'm going to give it a 1.5. Isaac, your rating is out of line. That is way too high for this match. It was a good match, but way too high. And Shane, I am saying drink.
What? Why am I drinking?
Because you agreed with Meltzer.
Oh, yeah. Me and Meltzer.
Dude,
let's
you're
fucking
two
go.
For two tonight, dude.
Oh, Meltzer. Dude. Yeah, honestly, I think I want to make out with Dave Meltzer. Honestly, at this point, I would like to give Dave Meltzer my tongue.
We'll see what Aaron has to say about that. But that brings us to probably the best backstage segment of the night, where we have Brian Pillman cutting this Brian Pillman promo in the back, and you see Stone Cold sneaking up behind him and giving him a good old-fashioned swirly.
Yeah, that was so funny.
I love the image of Stone Cold just standing behind him and going...
It was so good. The second he pops around that corner, it's just like... Fuck yes. Right now, let's fucking go. Yes, I love it.
In this point is where I stopped watching any of the backstage promos.
You knew they weren't getting better.
It was it was a strict fast forward from that point on.
Yeah, this felt longer than it needed to be.
Oh, dude.
Well, it was longer than it needed to be. This was almost a 3-hour pay-per-view.
Yeah, and the fucking...
The final King of the Ring match was like an hour into it.
Yeah, the longest match was 22 minutes. I think there were 8 matches.
The longest match was 22 something, and
that was Mankind and Hunter. But
I thought it was well, I guess
Austin, no, it was Michaels Austin.
Yeah, Austin HBK was the longest.
Yes. What was
but they were close. I think they were close.
Like 18 minutes or something. Then for the
1926 for close. But you know that leads us into our next outstanding match where we have Crush with the Nation of Domination taking on Goldust with Marlena.
You want to take this one, Shane?
Oh, dude, it's a fucking Nation with the white guys.
Come on. You can do better than that.
It's the Nation with the white guys.
Okay. Let's turn that up to 11.
Can you add a little spice to that?
Oh, God damn it. Okay. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. You don't want to do it. You don't feel like doing it. I think I might have it still where you did do it. But yes, it is the Nation with the white guys.
It's the Nation with the white guys.
There we go. That's all I want. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted.
Yeah, dude, this was match of the night for me by far. I loved it so much. Who did Crush wrestle again?
Oh shit, it was Goldust.
Oh, it was Goldust.
Yeah.
I do think that this might have been the best match of the night thus far, though.
Thus far, it was pretty good, actually.
I liked the
Mankind match better, but it was still good.
It was the best Goldust like has looked, and like the most comfortable he's looked like as Goldust. You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at this in this year, and I'm looking backwards. It was the most Goldust we've seen. There were a couple cool bumps. It was way too overbooked, though, but that was a Nation with the White Guys deal. It wasn't better than Mankind. Mankind and Jerry.
No, I think maybe it was better than the it's 1.5 for me in the long run. There's really not much to say about it.
I'll tell you one thing I realized coming out of this match, and that's how much I hate the fucking 10 corner punches, dude. I hate it so much. And like, I never realized how much it annoyed me up until this match. I'm watching it and I'm like, oh God. And then he stands and he starts doing the Goldust shtick and he's fucking smacking him in the face with his balls. And I'm like, oh man, can you like, I don't care about smacking someone in the face with your balls, but I don't need to see the 10 corner punches, man. Get me out of here.
Like, is there ever a point now that where you feel like you could fucking get into that as a spot? Or are you just no, I don't want to see it like me and the Canadian Destroyer.
I suppose if I was really, really into a match, and I'm talking like live, I'm talking being there, I'm talking these two dudes are putting on a barn burner. If they're using it as kind of like a little 10-second, you know, whatever rest deal in the middle of good. Yeah. In the middle of an already good match, I don't mind it there. But like just using it to do the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm, oh man.
They totally overused it in this era all the time. But
yeah,
I will say it can be done right. It just often isn't.
I'm just thinking, is it even used that much anymore?
No.
How often do you see that? It's like there's a few things like that where like you don't see that. You very rarely see the fucking, if ever, the sleeper hold with the arm drop. And if you do, it's an immediate thing. You know, they're much more realistic with it. But, and the other one, you know what I actually miss is them ringing the bell to try and regain order. I kind of miss hearing that bell ring in the middle of chaos. There's something about that just like,
yeah, they seem crazy. They still do that.
I just heard a little beep in my ear that makes me think DDJ's in the house.
Hello, Dennis.
Hi, guys.
All right.
Hello. How are you today?
We got a question here that might or might not make us all drink whatever's in our glasses right now.
How is that different from any other time?
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, whatever. It's a little different because you're unprepared this time? I don't know.
What was the first match?
The first match was Ahmed Johnson taking on somebody.
Triple H,
there we go.
Throw out a star rating. King of the Ring, 1997. Throw out a star rating.
For just that match?
Yep.
Yes.
I don't care.
Oh! It's an official clusterfuck, everybody.
Oh, Christ.
It's a clusterfuck!
Yay!
Oh, yay.
It's the only advantage of drinking whiskey. It goes a lot faster to drink finish your drink.
Oh, I was already done with that beer.
All three of us. Had voted at a one star. Dave Meltzer voted at one star. So that was all of us agreeing. Shane was trying to get out of pounding his beer, so he wanted to know what DDJ's rating was.
Yes.
And you came in with the fucking fire, bro. Oh,
I love it. Man.
Oh, I'm so all proud right. of you. While you're here, let's do something. We were going to talk about this towards the end.
This is a perfect spot.
That's perfect. Next week, we have two very, very, very big announcements. One of them is we have a very special live interview next week with none other than our very first interview guest on the show, a fucking WWE Hall of Famer, a fellow pothead, and just an incredible, incredible human being, none other than Papa Shango, the godfather Charles Wright. He is going to join us again live next Thursday, 10:05 p.m. right here on SuchGoodShoot.com.
Ooh.
And we are going to debut a segment that, you know, like, who knows? If you guys give us money, we're going to make it recurring. If you don't give us money, we might still make it recurring. And that's going to be Wrestler versus Rain Man, where we ask a series of trivia questions to both DDJ, our resident wrestling Rain Man, and the wrestler himself about his career. And we're going to see who knows more. So that's gonna be really fun.
Having
and
met so, the Godfather, I have a lot of money on DDJ.
Down oh, there. I'm betting on Godfather here.
So I have to ask this question: if you don't get money from people, does that mean Isaac, you're gonna go work the street corners again?
Yeah, for some fucking cheeseburgers.
You're acting like I stopped. When did I ever stop?
Bro? Oh, come on, true. Man. Okay,
man's gotta eat. And next week. I have it on very, very good authority that you, DDJ, might have a very special announcement to make. So, if you got anything to say to help spice that up, you can. If not, if you want to just leave it right there, you can. But
You know what? I know I see there's five people watching, and for those five people, thank you. See, you know what? Before I came in, what were you guys at, like, two or three? So see, I'm bringing the
zero, dude. We had zero. We've been had zero all night, and then you jumped in.
But let's just say I'll give it a little bit of a teaser here. Let's just say maybe a certain band might be getting back together again.
We're a three-man band.
Oh, okay. Let me clarify that. Part of the band, part of the band might be getting back together again.
Oh, we're gonna get fucking DCMA.
Yeah, we're fucked up. Now.
They're all under the limit.
Okay.
But either way,
let's just say it's gonna be part of the old band, and I guess you could call it the new band getting together. It's a bridging of the gap. Let's just call it that.
Yeah, we're going on a little bit of a nostalgia tour, and we're taking it into the future. Okay.
Yep.
So we're very excited. Keep an eye out. We're going to talk about this next Thursday. But if you want to hang out, if you're not doing anything, you can hang out. We can talk about the rest of this pay-per-view. We're right on the point where we're at
the Crush. Dust. We're about Crush to rate
Gold
it.
Dust. We're about to rate Crush versus Gold Dust. I believe you guys rated it. Shane gave it. Oh, what are you giving a chain?
I did. I gave it 1.5.
You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. It's 1.5 for me as well.
Oh, what's Meltzer say? Oh, what's Dozer say?
It's a 1.25 for me.
Oh, you just don't want to drink. Okay.
No, because I also know Meltzer's rating, and he rated it a dud.
Oh.
Wait.
That bad?
A zero? Wait, what did he rate? Zero?
The sheet I am reading just says dud.
Yeah, that's a zero. DDJ, do you remember it? What do you want to rate it?
That's usually a zero.
Do you have an opinion on this one, man? Do you remember this match?
Yeah, it's just, you know, this kind of a general, you know, the majority of this pay-per-view was not very good. But, and I mean, this match was certainly no exception to that. I'm gonna go with Dozer and say 1.25.
All right.
I mean, I can't argue at the very minimum, it was better than Ahmed.
Yes.
Oh,
but that's
yeah,
not saying it, much. That's not saying there, much at all.
Yeah, but Meltzer thinks Ahmed was better.
Oh, Meltzer is out of his fucking gold, well, like,
hold on. Meltzer also rated it at the time where Ahmed was over.
Yeah,
I mean, I suppose, dude, out of his fucking gourd, man.
He's still out of his mind.
Before I get pissed off at Meltzer and don't want to make out with him anymore, let's move to the next match.
Wait, as opposed to wanting to make out with him before?
Well, oh, dude. I mean, Meltzer and I
agreed with him for 2 out of 3 matches so far.
Yeah. I mean, Meltzer and I are on a connected brainwave right now.
So,
okay.
This brings us to our trios match of the night. See, modern terminology.
Ooh.
Where we have the Hart Foundation taking on the Road Warriors and Psycho Sid.
What a dud.
Yeah, this one was a dud. This one should have been at least like interesting, and it was just a mess.
Should have been at least a 2. Like, looking at everyone involved, and it sucked. It was overbooked and just bullshit, man. Psycho Sid can't wrestle. Like,
I love his look. I love his gimmick, but yeah, he's not that good.
Oh,
just a mess. It was a mess. It wasn't very long, at least. What was it, like 5 minutes or something?
13 minutes and 37 seconds.
Yeah, the commentary team spends half the match going, I can't believe that this team started with Owen Hart. God, why would they do that? Jesus, they're stupid. Owen Hart sucks. He's a guy who comes in later. Why didn't they start out with David Boy Smith Jr.? Why did they do that?
At least on like WCW, they're talking about the match.
Oh, dude, I would have rather them talk about anything else.
Yeah, this one was probably the worst of everything tonight. Well, that or the first
one. Oh, no, it wasn't worse than the Ahmed.
It's better than Ahmed.
Just barely. I mean, like I said, a Triple H put a lot into that match. That, like, I appreciated the fact that he worked his ass off, whereas in this match, nobody did.
Yeah, I mean,
am I wrong in my assessment there that at least Triple H was fucking working his ass off?
Yeah, I mean, he worked his ass off, but also there was a Psycho Sid promo before this one, which elevates. I did watch that. Sorry, I lied earlier because he just goes, I am the master of the universe, you know, and you don't have to worry about me. You know, I have to worry about you because I am the ruler of this reality. And there's nothing better than Psycho Sid just rambling about nothing. So.
Can we start over? We're alive, pal.
Oh, man.
I love that shit. Oh, my God. 1, 2, 5.
That's a 1, 2, 5.
A 1, 2, 5. Yeah, that's actually 1, 2, 5. That's where I was going.
I'm going to say yeah, because it was definitely better than Ahmed versus Triple H, and yeah, I mean, but it wasn't that much better. So I 1.25 is the way to go.
That's 3. I'm going to 1.5.
Oh, fuck.
I just can't, like, I cannot put the same rating on something that has Owen Hart in it as something with Ahmed Johnson. Like, it just has to be better immediately based on Owen. I mean, you know.
No, I am giving it 0.25 better than the other one, but I do think Triple H really worked his ass off.
So
I think Triple H tried harder, but.
So I know Shane had a hot take earlier. I want to drop a hot take right now. And this is something I think if some of you who known me for a little while might have heard this.
It'll be a cold take for you motherfuckers.
No, this is a hot take. Everything about me is hot. Just ask my wife, although she'd probably say cold.
Whatever, dude, whip it out. Let me see.
You would like that, wouldn't you?
Yes.
So my hot take is like you said, we talked a lot about Owen. I'm going to come out and say it. Owen was better than Brett.
No, I agree. And I agree in almost every way, man, other than just straight technical wrestling. I mean,
Owen blows Brett out of the water.
Well, you know what Owen had that Brett doesn't and didn't?
A personality?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think Brett was slightly better in ring. I think, and I will say this, and this is the reason why, and don't get pissed at me, but Brett never broke fucking Stone Cold's neck.
Yeah, I mean, Brett's
I love Owen, but Brett would have never done that. If he had done that, he would have done the right thing after, and he would have fucking made amends. And I'm not trying to take any shots, but that right there is the only thing I have to say that makes me disagree with you. On every other level, I agree. On that one little bit, I don't.
That's fair. I would, you know, I'll give you that. But
and I don't mean to take it to that level. Like we can get back to the fun shit and everything because, like I said, I do think that fucking Owen overall was better than Brett personally. I prefer to watch him.
I mean, I just they're not even comparable to me. I just Owen is so much better than Brett or was, I guess. Just I mean, just fun watching him, man. Like I like the technical shit, but you know, Owen being able to I mean, he was funny, but he could work really any style. You know what I mean? He could fly. Mm-hmm. He could chain wrestle. He could grapple. He could brawl. I mean, you know.
And he did. Owen didn't take himself too seriously.
Yep.
That was Bret Hart's biggest fault was that he took himself and everything way too seriously.
Yeah,
I wouldn't. I mean, here's a really hot take. I don't think I would put Bret Hart in my top 20 of all time. To be honest, I think he falls. Securely outside of the top 20.
That's a sizzling hot take there.
I think I could name 20 wrestlers off of the top of my head that I enjoy more and I think were better packages than Bret Hart.
I might be able to do that too.
You know what? If a certain someone who we all know is like supposedly the biggest Bret Hart fan out there is listening to this, he's probably keeled over right now.
Yeah, he's not listening.
Who cares? But what I will say, and this is my hot take, as far as wrestling goes and being more enjoyable to watch, I will put Santino Marella above Bret Hart.
Oh, that's tough, Dozer. More entertaining? I mean, that's
more enjoyable to watch.
Okay, what was Meltzer?
Yeah.
Before we break the internet with all our hot takes. What was Meltzer's rating?
1.34. So 1.75. Yep.
Okay.
One and three quarter stars.
Okay. I think 1.34.
Yeah. No, that's my level of rating shit. No, Meltzer likes to keep it divisible by 2.5.
Okay. He's not.
Dude, I was like, what the fuck are you talking?
No. What? I converted to decimals, but my spreadsheet here with his ratings is in fractions.
Okay, I gotcha.
That makes sense. I'm like, oh, I've never heard of a 1.34 rating.
No, yeah, it's... I like
it. That's a Dozer style rating. 1.34
repeating. Yeah, I would never do the 3.4. I'd do the 3 repeating.
I give that a pie.
So
that has happened.
What's up?
Next match, we get Hunter Hearst Helmsley taking on Mankind.
Oh, this was so
for the King of the Ring.
Fucking good.
Yes.
God, this was so fun. This was like, because this was the beginning of one of the best rivalries that fucking Triple H ever had. The rivalry that launched his career, really, really launched it. And this was the beginning of it, and it was fucking great.
Would you say this launched it? This was a better rivalry than his rivalry with The Rock?
Was the Rock rivalry late? This was more important, honestly.
Yes,
this was.
I'll give you an import. I'll give you that with importance.
Here's this. I don't. Which Rock feud are you talking about? That's where that. If that doesn't answer the question, then
I would probably. Well, I would say his basically starting from the Nation versus DX going through basically because essentially they rose up in the ranks basically around the same time.
Yeah, I think that the Mick Foley Triple H feud was one of the best stories that they told that year.
Fucking brain blast. Where was fucking Rocky Maivia on this pay-per-view? That's who should have been there rather than Jerry the King Lawler. Oh, was he hurt? Okay.
I think he was still out with his knee injury or whatever. Okay. He was still about a month or two before his arrival and when he joined the Nation. So I think we're like still a couple months out from that.
I mean, he's been on. I guess he did get hurt. I don't know because I didn't even think about that. But we've seen him be curly haired Rock the past couple WWF shows. But
yeah, I think he had
Mylan like Finn Balor.
Yeah, he might have just joined the Nation and then he's off because of injury or something. But yeah, either way, this match for me was a lot of fun. Both those guys worked their asses off.
Yep.
They beat the fuck out of each other.
Yeah, Foley's a fucking idiot, dude. He's so dumb.
But God, he's did he so make dumb. Triple? He made Triple H look like a million fucking dollars, dude.
How many of those back of the head to the railing bumps did he take in this night? Because he took at least two. He took at least two with Jerry. He took at least two in this match. He might have taken more. He does the fucking jack elbow off of the apron directly on the concrete. Mm-hmm. Triple H takes a nasty maybe backdrop or something. It was like a suplex or like a back body drop or something like that. He bumps there like an idiot.
There was the fucking that was in the first match, the stairs spot where Lawler was against the stairs and he just bowling fucking style cleans out the stairs. There was just a lot of stuff. He beat the fuck out of himself.
He loses the mask in this one too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vader style thing. Like
it was a really like it just felt important in a way. Like it really felt like Triple H was stepping up from his Hunter Hearst Helmsley character and into something a little different.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, this is kind of when you first really started to see him go away from Hunter Hearst Helmsley and kind of the early stages of the Triple H character. I would agree with that statement.
Yeah, early in the match because he does that. He does the pedigree on the old school table. And Jim Ross, get him down from there. Get him down from there. What are you doing? Oh my God.
And then they do the rest of the pay-per-view from the table and they're like, I don't know what we're gonna do. We don't have extra headphones. But yeah, that was that was a really good match. And
nowadays, you look at these shows when guys go through tables, in the next segment, they got a new table ready to go.
Yeah.
Well, now they have tables meant to break and be put back together.
Yeah, the IKEA table.
Yeah. No, IKEA tables don't go back together.
But yeah, this one, for me, was 3-2-5. It was a really good match. It sold the hell out of Hunter. I had a lot of fun.
I'm going to go 3.5 on this one.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going 3.5 as well, too, because, again, this match made Triple H just look like $1 million, and you knew he was on his way up. And then just afterwards, you know, they do the whole ceremony, and he's still beating on him. And it's like, basically, this point in time, you're really starting to feel sorry for, Mankind.
Foley was getting over like crazy.
And not only are you establishing Triple H as, like, you know, a rising star, you're getting Mick Foley over at this point as a baby face.
Mm-hmm. And we know what will be happening in 12 months.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Although the between then and there with Foley, like the Hunter Hearst Helmsley thing is really good.
Oh yeah. But this might be the worst of their matches that they're going to have.
But like the, between Helmsley and then the next King of the Ring, is a rough patch for Foley, I think. Like there's a lot of like just they don't know what to do with him. And then after that, like he solidifies himself as one of the fucking greatest of all times. But
I was watching on Peacock a few weeks ago. They have one of the things they have on the WWE stuff is like the best of, and one of them was Mick Foley. And it was kind of spurred me to watch, you know, like based off the interview he did on Stone Cold show. And I was like, you know, and I've been on a Foley kick lately, man. I'll tell you, it may have been kind of rough for, I think, like, let's say the Mankind character, but man, the stuff we got with Dude Love and Cactus Jack in 97, that was good. You know, that was good shit right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I'm a Cactus Jack mark.
Yeah.
Oh, so am I. I've become a big Mick Foley mark, but I mean, just, I've always been like Cactus Jack has always been my favorite personality when it comes to Mick Foley. Yeah.
So what did Meltzer?
Well, we haven't. Have we heard Shane's rating?
3.
I don't. 3. Okay. Well,
I'm giving it 3.5.
Two of us, which really means one of us has to drink, because Meltzer gave it a 3.5. So that's 2 drinks. 1 for me, 1 for DDJ.
There you go. There you go. I'll drink for DDJ.
There you go. Yeah, y'all. I appreciate that y'all drinking for me.
I got you, man.
We got to get you covered.
So what do we got
next? I'll even use my sleeve to wipe my mouth because we're fancy here.
I believe we have Shawn Michaels versus Stone Cold Stephen Austin.
Next. Yes. In the longest match of the night.
This is another fucking great match. This is my favorite match of the night.
So I'm going to get a really, really hot take out real quick. And this was something – this is – no. I didn't hate the match. But what I will say is I like watching these things critically and like trying to like watch them to review them. I haven't been super, super, super impressed with Austin's in-ring work like around this time. And like, I don't think he's bad by like, I don't think he was bad by any means. And I don't think in any way, shape or form, you know, he's Ahmed Johnson or whatever. I mean, I think it's clear even watching this match that he, you know, is still one of the better wrestlers on the roster, but his style just, especially in 97 so far, just hasn't really resonated with me. Like I love the match with him and Brett, but that was like a wild fucking just chaotic brawl, man. Him working this with Sean, honestly, there were points of the match where I was bored. I mean,
ooh,
but
a hot take.
But in all fairness, I think though, I think you guys kind of alluded to it a little, you know, at the beginning of the show when I was listening, they really kind of got put in a bit of an awkward situation with this, because like you guys had mentioned, it was originally supposed to be Sean versus Brett here, and I kind of think this was almost a last minute thing. I think it was due to the Sunny Days comment and the fear that Brett was gonna like legitimately, you know, beat the crap out of Sean and stuff. So I don't really think if this match got the proper. There build was also up, take whatever preparation time or whatever, because you know,
or they had more time allotted for it than they needed to.
There was also a legitimate injury on Stone Cold's part at that point.
Yeah,
he was in rough shape. But I honestly loved the match. I got into it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Stone Cold. Like, I'm not like not necessarily blaming him, and like he can be injured or whatever. But just like you said earlier, Isaac, if I'm watching this, you know what I mean, as is. I don't think that this was better than the Triple H Foley match. I think that was probably the best match of the night. Oh, I think that this might have been slightly under, not very much, but
my only
I'm gonna agree with Shane on that, by the way. I think Foley versus Triple H was the match of the night.
This one I think I don't know if it was better. I think it was on par with it. My biggest issue with it, had it had a different finish, and if like the whole story going into it had been a little stronger, I think it would have been different. Like the weird, like the tag team champions that don't like each other thing is weird, but again, it's forced. I mean, I had a good time. I really liked it. I think I'm going to go 3.5 on it.
The finish was you reminded me because I forgot about the finish. Finish was a crock of shit where they just yelling at each other walking. They're not even.
The finish. The finish was was fucking Stone Cold hit the stunner on fucking suicidal ref, and then
Tim White.
We had three refs in this match.
Did Chiyoda run out?
We had suicidal ref. We had Chiyoda, and we had Hebner.
So
we had all three.
So we had Tim White come out. He was reffing the match. Stone Cold gives him the stunner. Then fucking Chiyoda comes out. Michaels gives him the super kick. And then Earl Hebner comes out and DQs them both. It wasn't worst way to do that. It honestly wasn't. But then they just
walk out and they're just yelling. They're not even fighting each other. They're just walking out and yelling.
They're tag teams. But I did like the fact that they were both like, no one wanted to go ahead of each other because they didn't trust each other. Like, I mean, at least they played it as well as they could given what they had.
Mm-hmm.
Had it been a different finish, had it been a different build, I think it would have been a better match. It would have felt more important. It just didn't feel that important. I think that was the thing, is like Foley versus Triple H at least felt important because it was for the King of the Ring. There were no stakes to the fucking Shawn Michaels Stone Cold match. There was no stakes, and they even sort of said it. They were sort of like, well, you know, they could just, you know, just both like, you know, just stop fighting basically because they want to save each other because they're tag team and that's more important. And so like it never felt like there was anything at risk. And for that, for doing a 22-minute match with no stakes, nothing at risk, 3.5.
I'm giving it a 3.75, but
really,
I enjoy. Look, I got a soft spot for Stone Cold. I do.
I'm gonna say, like I said, I think a lot of it, like you said, this match could have been so much better if there was more put into it. But again, I think the WWE this time was put in, in a bit of a tough spot with the whole Brett versus Shawn thing and stuff. I'm gonna give it a 3, but it, like you said, it could have been better just given the proper build. And one thing that I definitely want to kind of give a shout out to Shawn Michaels on this match was kind of at the beginning of the match with the, yes. the special needs kid. The,
yes, there was the kid. He was
like he fell over the railing or something.
No, okay. Let me. I did some research on this because so he was a guest. He was actually part of the Special Olympics.
Right.
He was a guest, and he was a huge, huge Shawn Michaels fan. And when he saw Shawn Michaels getting beat up, he got so upset he jumped the rail, and security tackled him. And Shawn Michaels noticed, and he got fucking angry as shit at security because he was like, yeah, I think he had done a meet and greet or something with him. And so he fucking pulled security off of him, wouldn't let security touch him. And that's why he was like holding him and protecting him.
Yeah.
Because he was like, no. And so he, and then the mom jumped and like, it all ended up working out. But yes, I'm glad you brought that up because I had forgot all about it. And that was like a really, really cool and classy moment from a complete douchebag at the time, Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
Right. I was going to bring that up in my rating because to me, this match was a 2.75, but I'm going to rate it a 3 because Shawn Michaels wasn't a total douchebag to the kid. And it put a really big smile on my face. And I'm sure that it meant a lot to that family and especially meant a lot to that kid. So,
He was just so genuine about it. He's like, don't fuck with this kid. Like,
yeah, he's great. I mean, again, unnecessary. That kid is legitimately harmless to anyone. Like, yeah.
Absolutely.
Almost as much as that Cornette fan.
So what? Oh yeah. So what was Meltzer speaking of Cornette?
So this is a prime example of how Meltzer is different today than he was then. He gave this a 4-star.
Wow.
Okay. That's tough.
Wow. All right. So I'm going to drink because he's wrong. And that's normal for me.
Yeah. And that brings us to our main event of the evening, where, to quote the opening video package, we have Farooq fighting to be the first African-American WWE champion, taking on The Undertaker.
What a crap match.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for
Taker and both for him and for because they're both great workers and it just didn't quite click.
But Taker wasn't a great worker at this time though. Like our memory of Taker is through rose-colored glasses because of like the later years of his career and his WrestleMania run with Triple H and Shawn Michaels and Batista and CM Punk and Edge and all of these guys. Taker kind of fucking sucked around this time.
That's a hot take. That's definitely a hot take. I don't know if I agree with it. I do think he came more into his own as he went on, but even just watching the clips behind him, he has a ring presence. He was able to do things that that most big men couldn't do for that.
Yeah, time. I mean, he did the Kofi Kingston spot, which I popped for on the top rope, and he did the dive.
I don't know. I'm into it. It obviously wasn't the best match of the night. It was not nearly the worst match of the night. We could talk about it longer, but I mean, it wasn't. No, because there were two matches that were worse than this.
It was close to the worst.
It was maybe third worst. It was better than Ahmed, and it was better than that three-way.
This pay-per-view may as well be called a battle for the bottom.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it was Farooq or Taker's fault again. But the match was so overbooked with all of the stupid nation bullshit and the
the Paul Bearer shit and just everything.
Was it worse than Farouk? I mean, was it worse than Ahmed Johnson?
No. I mean,
was it worse than that the three ways, the three way match?
The six man,
the trios.
Yeah, sorry, it's getting late.
No, but it was that. Yeah, the gap there was pretty.
I think it was still better. I think it was a solid 2.5. 2.25. 2.25 because you look like you're smelling a poop.
So why didn't you just rate it a 2 then? You know, a number 2.
Hey,
that's what I'm giving it.
You see what I did there, Isaac?
I'm giving it a 2.
Who does number 2 work for? I think 2. I think 2.25.
I'm gonna go with the 2 as well.
Shane is looking shocked right now. For
dude, I watched the same show. I mean, Jesus, what was man, this? That was, what one is and a one? Half from me. I mean, okay. How
Meltzer
long was
probably
it, like,
gave it a
minutes?
6. It was
well. I'm going to say
15 or something.
One of us has to drink, so that eliminates the D's in here. Isaac, you're drinking. He gave it a 2.25.
Yeah, I agree with him on that one.
Oh man, I mean, I agree. Yeah. So granted, I've been overtly negative with this one. I'm gonna be honest; I didn't want to watch this pay per view at all.
And even after he watched it, he didn't want to talk about it. He's like, guys, can we just like not do a pay per view? We just skip
dude,
this one.
Yeah, no. I'd say
you were reviewing it at some point, whether it's now or a year from now.
You know, I did forget Godfather was next week though. Yeah, okay, I get it. I get it. All right.
I know. I'm a mean man when I make dude. You do the podcast and drink with me. But I wanted to hear you bitch about this one because it was a fun one to bitch about. What is your overall score, Shane?
Stinky. Out of 10.
Out of 10.
Out of 10. Wait. No, because does Meltzer rate
everything
out of 10?
Out of 5?
Meltzer doesn't rate whole shows, at least this time.
We're not changing our rating system now. We rate out of 5. We've always rated out of 5.
Fair enough.
If we rate out of 10, we're cutting our rating in half, okay?
This whole pay-per-view was a 1.5 star out of 5. It was not the worst pay-per-view I've ever seen, but I will purposefully... never ever try to watch this show ever again.
I would watch one match from it again, and that's the Triple H and the Foley match. So I guess you're right. This is the best match of the card. I'm not going back and changing anything now, but it was a solid 2 for me. But I will say it was very, very clear and eye-opening as to why WCW was whooping the dog shit out of WWF at this point in the ratings.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's fucking just, so evident.
Not even close. I mean, I've been telling you this shit for fucking years now.
What does Nat say about it? Hi, Nat.
Meow,
hi,
motherfucker.
Hi, Aaron.
Are you going to make some noise, Nat? Rub his belly or something. Make him go.
If I can get him to yodel a little bit.
I'm going to give this.
There we go.
I'm going to give this show a 2 out of 5. And I'm giving it the 2 out of 5 because we got to see Michaels versus Austin before either of them had any major injuries.
No, Austin was injured here. He was fucked.
He was injured, but he had not broken his neck yet. No, and Michaels had not broken his back yet.
But he did have a very bad spinal injury that wasn't a broken neck. Stone Cold did.
Yes. But this is as close as we're getting to seeing them fight without injury.
Yes. But yeah, I liked it. It was good. Meltzer doesn't rate it. Okay. So that's, you know, pretty anticlimactic.
Thank you, Shane. I was beginning to wonder if everybody else was forgetting about me.
Who?
Nope, didn't forget.
Didi, what the fuck did you get here, bro?
I've only been here for probably the last
step, bro.
20 minutes. I'm gonna say, there was some good. Like you said, you had Mankind, Triple H that really saved the show from being a sub 1 star pay per view. I'm gonna give it 1.75.
Yeah, and we're really getting close to the end of these, though, when the Attitude Era and the pay-per-views start getting better, because what's next?
Isn't it Bad Blood? I think Bad Blood's very soon, if not next.
No, I mean, what are we going to do after that? Are we
No, later, Bad Blood or... is after Survivor Series.
No, oh. Bad Blood is before Survivor is Series, because you have Canadian Stampede was July.
Then yes, that's next.
And then Ground Zero was September.
But Bad Blood was October.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be honest, though, boys. I mean, I think that once we're done with 97, we should just, like, continue to 98.
Oh, we're rolling into 98. Yeah, straight through the good times.
I was going to say, I mean, and then we can see WCW start going.
Way to fucking spoil next year's schedule in fucking July or June.
If they hadn't figured it out.
Yeah, we're just going to keep going because we're fucking lazy. Are you kidding?
No. We're going to stop sometime in the 2000s because that time sucks. And then maybe we'll pick back up in the mid-2000s. We'll see.
The nice thing is there's a finite amount of WCW pay-per-views. Yes. To watch.
Oh, man. I'm so excited for you guys to watch Halloween Havoc. Dude, it's... you're gonna have so much fun
All I know is that hopefully we keep getting these interviews because we announced three interviews today that are releasing or planned, and that's not all of them. We still have two more that are fucking planned and have dates and are booked out for actually, you know what? We said one of the names tonight. That's the only hint I'm gonna give. We said one of the names tonight. And we said one of the names during the...
Oh, I know who you're referring to.
Yeah, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth!
We're not announcing that shit yet.
Know your role, jabroni.
We don't announce it till it's in the can.
Yes.
Or they're on the screen.
But one of the other ones we actually talk about in our Hornswoggle interview. His name is mentioned in our Hornswoggle interview. And that drops tomorrow morning at 4:20 a.m. on Yeah, you better fucking deal with that shit. No, on all our podcast serves, YouTube, Facebook, suchgoodshoot.com. So look out for that one. We announced next week Godfather joining us live with DDJ. DDJ is going to have a very special announcement, so keep tuned for that. And then also on Monday morning at 4:20 a.m., our interview with Fandango.
I believe he's going by Dirty Dango right now.
Dirty Dango.
Yes.
You get dirty with the Dango.
Johnny Curtis, and I know we're dragging on, but I actually realized this afternoon that I saw Johnny Curtis wrestle in fucking New Hampshire on an NXT fucking pre-taping of a SmackDown. I just realized it today when I was looking at the fucking the card.
Wasn't he the winner of season three?
Four.
Was it four? Yeah. I thought it was three. Oh, no, you're right. It is four because three was the women one.
Yeah, four he won, and then he went back to season five.
Which is the season that never ended.
Yeah, it never ended. And it was just weird that he went back. But anyway, we actually do talk a little bit about Johnny Curtis wrestling in New England in that interview. So check that one out, too. So,
but until next time. I have been Dozer. Above me is Isaac. In the 2-ish o'clock position, we have Shane. And down around 4 o'clock, we have DDJ.
What do you say with DDJ?
Check it out. It drops Mondays. It's a good show.
All on Johnner's podcasting
network. Yes.
Absolutely.
Speaking of Johnner's, we got wrestling. John's podcast is fastly approaching 200 episodes.
Ooh, that'll be exciting. You almost got cut off there because I was about to drop the exit in video.
Do it. Drop it.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Such Good Shoot. If you are on YouTube, please remember to like, subscribe, and ring that bell icon. Or subscribe to us on your favorite audio catcher. Or finally, if you're on Facebook, leave a comment, like the video, and make sure to share it out to all your friends. Until next time, we have been Such Good Shoot.